I've really enjoyed, just selfishly speaking, this series. I hope you have too. It's just been so much fun for me to go back and listen to the preaching of this church from 1983. And what I guess I've learned in the midst of all that is that the old saying is true: the more things change, the more they stay the same. And it's true. It's true. They do both. They change and they stay. And we see that all the time. There are all sorts of areas of our life that have changed drastically, very quickly over the last few years. And yet at the same time, kind of the core of who we are as a human being, I want to be loved. I want to be cared for. I want to be forgiven. I want to have hope. I want to know mercy and strength and kindness and all these things. And I don't care how high tech we get or how fancy the phones become, we're always going to need that. And so this challenge of being the church, of living this Christian life, is one of holding on to the innovation that God wants to bring to us, the new work of the Holy Spirit, while also keeping anchored in what grounds us and keeps us who we are in our relationship with God and Christ. And that sounds real simple, doesn't it? But it's oh so hard. Think back to the person you were in 1983. For some of us, that's a bit of a journey, isn't it? I was a freshman in high school in 1983. And I look back, and none of you can talk to Deborah about this because she knew me in high school, okay? That's my wife. You are not allowed to talk to her at all. Who was I in 1983? I was a hormone in 1983. I was miserably lost as a teenage kid in 1983. I was insecure. I had acne. Do you remember those Stridex pads we used in 1983? Those burned something fierce, didn't they? 1983. Wow, some laughs from this balcony today. Wow. All right. How are we doing up there? Good. Hey, if y'all ever want to sit in the front row, I'd love to see your faces. Just a, you know, we always have room. 1983. What else was going on in 1983? Return of the Jedi came out in 1983, right? It's amazing how that Star Wars legacy lives on today. In 1983, the number one pop song was Every Breath You Take by the Police. See, y'all are cooler than you give yourselves credit for. I saw Sting live when he was 60, sing in the Toyota Center, and he brought it. I went, wow, that made me believe in the resurrection of the dead. He was so, wow, just to see that. Now, and that's just a question to ask you, and this is the question that Charles Allen asked in the sermon, is, do you really want to go back there? In some ways we do, because I miss my youth, right? I had blonde hair once upon a time, but I know so much more now. And I have to say this, and this is the challenge that I think Hebrews is giving us if we're up to it. And it takes some guts to kind of go there, because it takes some honesty with ourselves. But what Hebrews is asking us is, has Jesus worked in you? Has the Holy Spirit worked in you over time so that as time goes by, you are holier than you were? Now, that's not to say that you're perfect. It's not to say that you're entirely redeemed, but Hebrews assumes that as time goes by, we are going to be perfected in our faith. Jesus came not so that we would stay stagnant. Jesus came not so that we would be the same person tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow that we are today. No. He wanted us to get better, to improve. And so the question Hebrews asks us is, are you letting Jesus work? Are you letting him be the pioneer and perfecter of your faith? And if you look back at your life over the last 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is, and say to yourself, I'm no better now than I was then, I'm going to say, what's wrong? Because the Spirit moves and we grow. Here's the kicker, though. It's painful. If you go on to read the rest of Hebrews chapter 12, there are all sorts of words that if we hear them, we're not going to like. Pruning, for example. If you went to the doctor's office tomorrow and the doctor said, we're going to prune you today. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you with that? Pruning hurts. But endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children, for what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have the discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not a child of God. Ouch. What Paul wants us to do is to get rid of the sin. The word he uses is, Hebrews. The entangles us. I remember I was running a path one time early in the morning, and I rounded the path, and spiders had spun webs across the path. And so I made the turn, and I ran down the way, and all of a sudden I'm covered in spider webs. And it's just nasty, isn't it? You know, and I'm trying to get it all off. And then you kind of look and say, now I wonder where the spiders are. And it's just, you know, you want to get clean. And that's what Hebrews says. I don't know why I'm Paul today, but Hebrews says, is that we have to be cleansed of the sin that entangles us. And that's sometimes going to be painful. And it's going to be hard. And we're going to be pruned. But our Hebrews makes the case that God loves us too much to let our sin go untouched. He loves us too much to let the evil that we do go by. And it's out of that love and care and compassion and hope and that idea of sanctification, we might say, in the United Methodist Church, that out of a great love for that, that we would submit and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I am yours. Do with me what you need. Again, the challenge for us is to grow, but hold on to what matters most. This week, Deborah had the idea of us going to the Houston car show at NRG. And it got me to thinking about, along with this 1983 sermon, my first car. Do you remember your first car? My first car was a Datsun 240Z, 1972, orange. We called it the Great Pumpkin. In fact, Deborah and I, we had a few dates in that car. That's not preaching material, is it? But we all remember, though, our first car, but it's, you know, on that car, it had an AM radio. The seat belts were, you had to latch them together in three pieces. It wasn't all one cohesive kind of thing. You could actually see through the floorboard to the road in certain parts of it where it had rusted out. And so we went to the car show, and I'm sitting in these cars, and it's amazing what cars will do, isn't it? Oh my goodness, it'll veer if we get in the wrong road. It'll beep at us if we're changing lanes. All of a sudden, it's connected to everything. It makes coffee. It peels bananas. It's amazing. I'm talking to one of the Tesla people, and the Tesla says that, you know, they got an app, and so he brings the app, and you hit it, and it will locate you, and the car has the technology to drive where you are and pick you up. When I was growing up, the only person who could do that was Batman. And now it's available for us all. Oh my gosh, what a word. But again, I don't know if all this change is good. The Jeep Wrangler, we went up the Jeep Wrangler episodes, and all of a sudden we're going over bumps and things in the car, and we're all being jostled around, and it's great. And the guy's making the sales pitch for us. He said, it's even a mobile hotspot so that all your devices can be connected to the internet within the car. And I said, let me get this straight. We're seeing God's beauty exploring in this Jeep Wrangler, and you want us all to stay on our screens. This is not progress. You know, I was in Papacitas the other day, and half of us are looking at our phones versus talking to the person next to us. And that's why I say, is innovation always good? No, sometimes we stray from what matters most, but we have to stay balanced. We have to stay grounded. We have to stay who we are while also allowing us to innovate. And the way we do that is through Scripture, through prayer and by being the church together. So if you want to know kind of how to do this, how to let the Holy Spirit move in your life, I'd say do some old school things. Read the Bible every day, pray every day, and share your faith with one another. If we do those three things well, what should happen, Hebrews goes on to talk about this more as the letter goes by, is that we should find the Holy Spirit moving in us to change what we need to change and to kind of rethink what we need to rethink, while also staying grounded and true to who God has always, regardless of the year, called us to be. So having said that, I want to talk about a couple of things, just kind of new things here at First Methodist Houston. And one of them is this thing called Source in the City. We have had a service on the sixth floor of this building called The Source, and we are transitioning it to out west here in a couple of weeks, because when we started it here, we've got great people, we've got a great staff, but it was in a room that's just too small to be sustainable. So the prayer we've had for the last several months has been, what do we do? Jesus, what do you need us to do? And so we came up with two thoughts. One is the Source will move over to our West Campus and will be our hub of Sunday morning contemporary worship service over there. It's all of a 12-minute drive on Sunday morning. I know you don't believe that you can go anywhere in Houston in 12 minutes. It might be 14 minutes at 55 miles an hour, but you can get there in a short time. But along with that, we're starting this thing called Source in the City. And Caitlin Hankins, one of our pastors, is going to be leading that effort for us. And it's going to be on Friday, start the first Friday of Lent. It's going to be a little bit of food, which is a good thing, a little bit of scripture, a little bit of prayer, but also learning together. And the coolest thing I think about it, we'll see what the Lord does, is that it's going to allow people from our different worshiping communities to get to know each other and come together. I don't know what you're doing on Friday night, but it's probably more sinful than this. And so maybe you, as part of your Lent observant, would want to make an effort to check out Source in the City. We're going to be there, Deborah and I, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I just pray it's something that God uses. Is it going to be successful? I don't know. Is it going to win disciples for Jesus Christ? I hope so. Is it going to blow up? It might. But sometimes you just have to start something new and see what the Lord does. And so that's what's going on in the Source in the City. While I'm talking about Lent, I want to talk to you about a couple of other things. We've got Ash Wednesday coming up on February 14th, start of Lent, and we will have our usual services here. We've got one in the morning and the evening in the chapel where you can receive the dispensation of ashes. We will do the noon service here in the sanctuary, as we always do, but we're going to do a couple of new things. One is, we're going to we've asked the permission from the city to set up outside of our building a drive-through receive the ashes lane. So that on people's morning commute, that if they want to, they can pull over and receive the ashes on Ash Wednesday. Now, let me tell you about this. Is this the depth of Christian commitment that I would hope for from people? No. It is not. But here's the thing. Sometimes you have to innovate just a little bit, because I tell you what, if somebody has a moment of Jesus on their commute, which think about the moments most of us have on our commutes, and it gives them a breath of fresh air spiritually, it's worth it. Then we're also going to have a card with scriptures to meditate on throughout the day about Ash Wednesday and Lent. And on the back side of it, it's going to have our website and information about our church. Trying to do a new thing, to catch a few fish that we might hopefully offer a little bit of the saving life and love of Jesus through. So we're going to try it. We've also got a couple of members on our staff who are going to ride the metro throughout the day. And they're going to have ashes with them. And they're going to go wherever the Spirit leads them. It may be to prison. We'll see. But I'm willing to pay the fine, because when I read this book, there aren't many books in it where somebody doesn't get persecuted for their faith. And maybe it's time at First Methodist Houston that we started taking the risk. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Ash Wednesday. Last thing. You know, I feel like I'm, you know, and if you buy my product today, last thing about Lent and Ash Wednesday is I was praying about what to do. What am I going to do for Lent? What am I going to give up? What am I going to do additional? Either one. And to be honest, when I started praying about it, I was a little discouraged. I thought, I'm 48 years old. I've been through a lot of Lents now. And what am I going to do that maybe I haven't done before? And so I really kind of mustered my spiritual resources and prayed about this. And it's like, what, Jesus, do you need me to do? So here it is, starting Ash Wednesday, February 14th, and for the 40, it's actually 46 days because you're not supposed to count the Sundays, but the 40 days of Lent, I'm going to try to have 40 cups of coffee. And here's how I'm going to do it. If I've had coffee with you before and it was a pleasurable experience for you, I would love to have coffee again. So please, just shoot a note, send an email, find me on Facebook or Twitter, but I would love just to have a one-on-one conversation. Sunday mornings are just very busy, and it's hard to, you know, have a sustained thought or a conversation with someone, and I would really enjoy the time just to get to know you. So that's one. Now, you'll get bumped up on the priority list if I haven't had coffee with you ever. So if I've never had coffee with you, or you've been sitting out in the back row where I can't see your face, for example, I would love to know who you are, what you look like, you know, and have a cup of coffee. So let's go to Toot Sweet, hang out, and I would just love to learn what God is doing with you. So if you would, extend me the invitation, and we'll try to work it out. One more thing, though. The top of the list, or the highest priority item, will be this. If there is somebody that you're friends with, or in your family, or somebody that you know, a neighbor, and they are not a Christian, and you think a conversation with a pastor might help advance that, I would love to have a cup of coffee with you and with them. No pressure, no sales pitch, no, I mean, just to talk. Tell me what your questions are. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me your doubts. And let's just talk about it. And in that conversation, perhaps the Holy Spirit will move and some obstacles will be cleared and we'll find ourselves moving, growing, as Hebrews would like. But if you would, just as a favor to me for Lent, if you would pray about that, I'd be most grateful. Because I always feel the Holy Spirit in the most powerful way whenever I have the chance to have a talk or talk to or listen to with someone who's yet to believe. Emotion. Because I was that person once. And I know what that's like. And I know what it's like to have the questions. And I know what it's like to doubt. And when I was looking for an answer, I needed somebody. And God sent, and as he always does, just angels. Angels. Yeah. So I need your help, and I need you to be praying this prayer with me, and I need to know who they are. And as we think about that and pray through that together, and as the names come in, and as Brenda Kinney, my administrative guru, just goes bonkers trying to make all these things work as far as 40 cups of coffee in 46 days, you know, let's get to it. Because what I love about Hebrews is this. It's a dynamic, active faith. It's a dynamic, vibrant church. It's a church that's trying with all it can to embrace what the Holy Spirit is sending its way while staying true to the evangelical core of the gospel of who Jesus is and why we need him so much. And when we get those right, as individuals, as families, and as the church, the power that is before us is amazing. And we will be certain that no matter the year, 1983 or 2018, it will be our best year yet, and the reason is because the Lord is with us. All God's people responded by saying, amen. Amen. Pray with me. Jesus, we're grateful just to be here in your presence together and to feel the power of your love and care for us all. It sometimes is our feeling that as we read the scriptures and as we think about the words we say in the creeds, which means so much to us. I mean, they're just foundations of who we are. But at the core of all of that is just a God who's desperately in love with us and his son who feels the same. So we pray that we would feel his spirit today and that we would know his love for us and that through the compassion that he is, that we might know just that we belong to you, Jesus, that you love us very much, and you're always calling us as individuals and as the church to simply be our best. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen.